Thank you, Emily. Man, you know what? One thing I love about Christmas music is that it's, you know, people that don't love the Lord, people who despise the Lord, are singing songs about the Lord and his coming, and that they're praising him and saying that because of his birth, we have joy and that we have hope in the world. And it's on the radio, it's on at the mall, it's everywhere you go. They're singing about how Mary birthed a son who is now the great I am, the King of Kings. They're singing these words out of their mouths, and yet they don't even recognize him or acknowledge him. And it's such a platform and opportunity for us to speak the gospel and to encourage other people in the faith. So that's really what we're going to be talking about today. As we're wrapping up our core value series, we're going to be talking about our last core value, which is relational evangelism. Now, this is an interesting topic because a lot of us, maybe when we think of evangelism, we have a lot of interesting things in our minds, right? There's a lot of different ways evangelism is done. Maybe you've seen the person who has the A-frame that they wear that says, like, you're going to burn in hell unless you repent, right? And they're running around. They're going to, like, pride parades. They're going to colleges. They're going wherever they go to try to let everybody know that they're going to burn in hell. That's not what I believe evangelism is or what the Lord ever intended it to be. Although they're, you know, these people may be good-hearted in their intent of what they want the outcome to be, they're not doing it necessarily in love. Or maybe you've seen televangelists before, okay? And then they're preaching, and they usually have a strong southern accent. They're telling you about repentance and how if you give your best gift, the Lord wants to bless you, right? And then there's the phone number that keeps scrolling across the bottom of the screen. Sorry to offend half the church, but with my terrible southern accent, but there's that as well. But every once in a while, you'll meet somebody who put their, they're like, oh yeah, I actually came to faith watching Benny Hinn. You're like, I don't know how, but amen. Like, I'm so glad that you know Jesus now, you know? Or there's like other ways to do it. Like, you've seen the stadiums that are full of people before. Like, the Billy Graham was one of the most famous crusaders of our generation, which crusader is a weird term also. But he led these big events, and he would preach the gospel to mass groups of people. And I actually had the opportunity to be part of something on a smaller scale, but something similar to this, where we would collect toys all year at our last church, and then not all year, but maybe the couple months leading up to Christmas, and then we would give toys out to anybody in the community who needed toys. And we would usually use a high school, and then at the high school, people would line up all around the high school. I mean, people from the community, there were thousands of people. And they would get in line, and they'd be like in this big zigzag line, and then we had a stage, and we got to preach the gospel to all these people. And in the community that we were in, people spoke either English or Spanish or Arabic. So we actually had translators that would translate the message into Arabic or into Spanish, which was really cool. And so I was able to preach the gospel to this massive group of people. And then afterwards, they would go and they would receive prayer. And it was a pretty cool event. But I don't believe that's what God has called us to do at this church necessarily, at least not now. The Lord actually, when I was praying for this church, the Lord was like waking me up in the middle of the night. As we were kind of preparing, I was writing down what I thought our church would be and what it would become. And of course, the Lord had even greater plans, but I'm writing these things down. And really what the Lord showed me was he showed a bunch of flames that were coming together, a bunch of like light, a bunch of matches that were coming together that were lit up, that were strong on Sunday. That's all of us. We're coming together. We're like, hey, you believe in Christ. You have the Spirit of God in you. Let's encourage each other. Let's build each other up. Then we go back into our communities where maybe there isn't quite as much light, where maybe there's darkness, maybe there's a lack of hope, and we get to actually go be those lights that shine. And as we give and we give and we give that fire and light away, we come back together as often as possible to reignite, to refire ourselves up. And that's what I really believe God has called us to do, is to go out into our communities and to share the hope of Jesus with others. And I want to talk about what that actually looks like. It may be different than you think, but I'll say this. Do you guys ever been to Ham's Meat Market up the street, right? Pretty cool. So we know some people who actually own Ham's now, and they were like, hey, we have a bunch of turkeys. Does anybody want any turkeys? Do you have anyone in your church who needs turkeys? And we're like, I don't know. Give us like 8. We'll give them away, you know? So they gave us a bunch of turkeys, and we're like rolling around with all these frozen turkeys. And so we posted on our community pages, anyone need a turkey? Will that bless anyone this year? And there was a lady who came up, and got a turkey from us, and she was just so grateful. She's like, thank you so much. This means so much to us. You guys are so caring and so great. We're like, it was hams, you know, but I, you know, no worries. And then she ended up building a relationship with Brianna and was like, hey, you got to come over. Like, I would love to hang out with you, and maybe we could have dinner and, like, have a glass of wine together, you know. And Brianna's like, okay, you know. But there's this opportunity now for relationship. The Lord has opened that door, right? We didn't knock on a bunch of doors and try to figure out who was going to let us in. We just kind of were there, and we were present. We were giving, and then the Lord opened up a door for relationship. So now we have an opportunity to start that process. So I want to talk about evangelism, what it is, what it isn't. The definition of an evangelist is someone who brings good news to another person. That's what an evangelist is. Okay, so I don't want you to think converting, like, let's go convert people. No, it's somebody who's bringing good news to others. You've been on the receiving end of the best news that's ever been given in history, that the Son of God came and he died for our sins, and we have hope for eternity with him. We have hope, we have peace, we have joy, we have unspeakable joy that we sung about earlier. It's overflowing. Even when we go through trials, we can have peace because of what Jesus has done. So we need to share that good news with others. That's what an evangelist is by definition, okay? So we're going to be in Luke 10. So if your Bible's flipped to Luke 10, some of you brought your Bibles today. Some of you didn't. That's okay. Try to remember to bring your Bibles. If you don't have one, ask. We'll get you one. But open your Bibles. Luke 10. We're gonna kind of park here a little bit because it's Jesus sending out 72 people to go do some work for the ministry. So Luke 10, 1. It's up on the screen. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Okay, so here's what I want to say. I want to talk about, like, step one in evangelism. What I want us to do, I want us to just really think of this as, like, this WikiHow three-step process of how to evangelize, okay? I want you to make it real simple, okay? Number one is we answer the call of God and we actually, like, look for people to minister to. That's number one. And that may seem simple, but it's a lot of times it's the step that we miss. We don't actually ask the Lord, who do you want us to minister to? Is there anybody in this community that you want me to share the hope of Jesus with? Maybe you live, you know, nearby some neighbors, you know, maybe you're in an apartment and you've got neighbors, like, right next door, all around you, above you, below you. You connect with them, you interact with them inadvertently all the time. Or maybe you live in a, you know, traditional single family home, and there's just, you see people watering their lawns, walking their dogs, you interact with people, you bump shoulders with them on a regular occurrence. Maybe it's at work, school, wherever it is that you may be. Where are you that you can just ask the Lord the question, who is it? Who should I be ministering to? Just ask it. You'd be surprised how he'll answer. He'll actually answer the question for you. Right? I was Avery, I'm going to put you on blast, sorry. But I was talking with Avery the other night. My kids are just, like, they're going to have, like, problems when they grow up, because they're always like the sermon illustration. But I was talking with her the other day, and I was like, hey, Avery, you know what would be kind of cool? If you started a Bible study with your friends, because she has all these friends that are on, that she does FaceTime with. From San Diego, she has some friends in Tennessee, she has some friends in Texas, and she'll, like, FaceTime people pretty regularly just to chat with them. I'm like, how cool would it be if you start a Bible study? She's like, how awkward would that be? They don't even know each other. Like, what are we going to talk about? And I said, Avery, just hold on. Why don't you just tell me that you'll pray about it? She's like, okay, I'll pray about it, but then I'll just ask the Lord, and then I don't know if he's going to say anything. I'm like, right, but just do it. Just pray, and you'd be surprised how he might just answer the question. You might be on FaceTime with one of your friends, and she might be like, you know, it'd be cool if we could, like, be, you know, like, talk about the things that, like, talk about the Bible a little bit more. I wish that I had a group of girls that were, like, my age I could do that with. I'm like, what if somebody said that after you've been praying about it? You'll be like, dude, God is speaking to me, right? We need to be faithful enough to just step out and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he will answer. It's pretty crazy. He says, if you ask, remember last week's message, if we ask anything according to his will, he will answer. So if we ask this according to his will, which his will is for us to share about his son, if we ask that question, he will answer. So the step one is to just be intentional to, and if you don't know anybody who doesn't know Jesus, that's a problem. I'm just going to tell you right now, you need to meet some people who don't know Jesus. That's okay. That's actually a good thing. Connect with people that don't know Jesus. Another thing he talks about is when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house, right? In verse 5, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. How many of you know that there are some peaceful people in the world, and there are some people who are not peaceful people in the world, right? And I'll say this. I want to specify this. Jesus doesn't say look for Christian people. He says look for people of peace. You notice that? People of peace aren't always the Christian people. Sometimes Christian people are some stressed out people, right? There's some not peaceful people. And I'm telling you, in the church, there are some very peaceful people and there's some very non-peaceful people. And outside of the church, there are some very peaceful people and some very unpeaceful people. And I just wanted to cheer for a second because many people get angry at God because their church hurt because a Christian has treated them poorly. And I'm telling you right now, if a Christian hasn't treated you poorly yet, it's coming. It's coming, and it's going to be a bummer, and you're going to expect more, and you're going to hope, and you're going to wish more from that person, but that person isn't Jesus. They're not. Don't let it deter you from Jesus. And I'll even take that one step further. Don't let it deter you from the church, because the church is the people, and the people are going to hurt each other, and God has not let us go yet. We've rebelled against him over and over again. Now I'm preaching a whole different sermon. This is not relational evangelism, but I'm telling you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't let people who wronged you deter you from Jesus Christ himself. Because there are so many people who used to have a relationship with God, who no longer do, who were hurt by people, who now no longer have a relationship with God. That's a trick of the enemy. That is not of God. So I'm telling you, like this is an opportunity for us to like recognize that. If you haven't been hurt yet by Christian people, it's coming. And I'm telling you, like, don't lose hope in Jesus and don't lose hope in the church, because there will always be people there who you can find, who will be those honest people. So he's saying either people will, like, you'll say peace to the house. If someone promotes peace there, it'll rest on them. If not, it will return to you. So you, as a believer in Jesus, should have peace within your heart. You should. He's the Prince of Peace. He gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. So when you're in a bad situation, God gives you peace. So you have this unspeakable, overwhelming, overflowing peace that you should have in your heart because you pray, because you love the Lord, because you've learned how to cast your anxiety on him, because you have this opportunity. You have this Savior with you all the time, 24/7. And when you go, you're going to say, hey, let's share this peace together. And you're going to hand them a bunch of it. And then they're going to be like, I don't want it. And the Lord's like, you'll get it right back, and you'll go to the next house. And you're going to say, hey, I have this peace for you. Do you want it? And they're going to be like, sure, I'd love that peace. Let's do it. And then you're going to share in it, and you're going to enjoy it together. That's beautiful. That's really cool. That's what the Lord is telling us to do. And I want to tell you this. Like here's the action step on this one. Pray. Ask the Lord who in your life you can be intentional about sharing the gospel with. And I'm telling you right now, like, get converting people out of your mind for a moment. That term is really like, it's a bad taste in people's mouth. Like, oh, if I go to this person's house, they're going to try to convert me. That's not what this is about. This is about you having such a beautiful joy and hope that you want to share it with others. That's really what it is. And if they reject it, so be it. If they receive it, great. We all get to enjoy it together. But I'm telling you right now, take the stress and the pressure off of converting and just let it be, I want to hang with people. I want to get to know new people. When I first moved out here to plant this church, I'm like, I will meet with anybody, anybody. If someone just like hates me and they're yelling at me, like, it's okay. I'm meeting with someone. And we're like, I'm able to just be myself and hang with them. And if they want to talk about the Lord, great. If they go to another church and they just want to like fellowship together, pray together, great. If they are interested in our church, great, so be it. If they're not interested in church at all, maybe it's an opportunity to share who Jesus is with them. All of the above. I don't care who it is, any human being, let's sit down, let's have coffee, let's break bread together, let's have a conversation. Let that be step one in your mind. Pray and say, Lord, who do you want me to hang with? Who do you want me to hang with? I just got a little Dane's looking me right in the eyes. What's up, buddy? What's up, my dude? All right. Step two is eat with them. Easy, right? Let's read it. Luke 10, 7 through 8. Elijah, let's flip over. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. It's kind of funny, right? Like food, just eat with them. Hang out with them and eat food with them. It's such a big part of Scripture, the Last Supper, right? I mean, the whole communion that we do, the whole sacrament of communion is literally breaking bread together, eating together, like even having a little wafer up here on the front. We all come forward, music strumming in the background. That's fantastic. It's a meal, though. We're supposed to sit down and break bread together. And I'd say with many people in the church, we've actually hung out with you and had a meal together and spent time together. I was thinking how funny it is, like food brings everyone together, doesn't it? You go to a restaurant. Do you know people's political affiliation? No. Do you know their spiritual condition? No. You have no idea what their mental health is. It doesn't matter. We're all together. We're all in this place. We're all eating food, right? Food is something that brings everybody together. I know, like, I've watched this this YouTube channel. My kids know it's called Jolly. And it's like these British guys that eat American food. And it's hilarious. It's just really funny. And they'll go to high schools and they'll feed, like, American foods to high school kids. Like, it's like British kids try Taco Bell for the first time. It's like one of the videos. And it's hilarious. They're eating like a Crunchwrap Supreme, you know, and drinking a Baja Blast, and they're British. It's just, I don't know why it's so good, but it is. And at one point, it says they try biscuits and gravy for the first time. And it's hilarious because biscuits to British kids are cookies, right? And then biscuits and American biscuits to British kids are scones. And then gravy doesn't look like gravy here and there. Their gravy is more like that really kind of clear looking brown gravy. And biscuits and gravy is like that creamy sausage gravy, right? So they pour this massive blob of gravy on top of these biscuits in front of these kids. They're like, these aren't biscuits, they're scones, you know? Or like, that was a really bad accent. But the scones, scones. I'll stick with the Texas accent. But they're eating like scones and gravy, but then they taste it and they're like, it's delicious. It's so good, you know? And it was one of those things that like, it like connected, you know? It connects cultures. It doesn't matter what language you speak, what accent you might try to have, whatever. It's like food brings people together. And I notice if I ever hang with any of you, I'm not like, hey, why don't we go on a walk together? You know, let's go sit on a park bench and have a conversation. No, we're going to probably grab coffee or we're going to grab a burrito because I'm from Southern California and that's like my thing, right? We're going to go to Valerie's, we're going to get a bean and cheese, and we're going to have a conversation together. But that's how we connect as human beings. And the Lord knows when you're breaking bread with somebody and having a meal with them, you're sharing an experience with them and you're getting to know them. And that's really step two. It's not eat. It's get to know that person. Like, humanize that person. They're not your evangelistic mission necessarily. They're a human being that you're trying to sit down with, that you're trying to care for. That's step two. Number one, am I even praying and asking the Lord to send me on this mission field? That's number one. And if so, he'll reveal it. Number two, just build a relationship with another human being. They might never come to know Jesus. And they might live a lifestyle that's completely contrary to everything that you believe. So be it. Two people can have different lifestyles and be in the same place together. We as Christians should be on the forefront of leading that type of behavior. And Jesus models it, doesn't he? Matthew 9, I'm not putting it up on the screen. If you want to go there, you can. Matthew 9, 10 says this. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus is like, I'm going to go hang with whoever. You don't like the tax collectors because they're basically robbers and they steal the money from the people? I'm going to sit down and eat with them because you know what? They've got something wrong in their heart that makes them deceptive and evil. So let's sit down and let's work that out. or you've got people that are drunkards and they're adulterers and they're all the whateverers you want to add in that Paul talks about in Galatians, sure, let's hang out with them. Let's spend time with them so that they can finally have an opportunity to meet a Christian that doesn't shove the Bible down their throat first thing, but gets to know them first. The Bible's coming. Scriptures are coming. The gospel's coming. It's part of this three-step process, believe me. But first, we need to just get to know them and let them know that you're a human being who cares for them. That's step one. We've told you about our neighbor that lived across the street from us. The guy was literally a Viking, like a giant man, you know, huge man. Like when we first moved into this house, there was a guy named Jesse, big dude, a football coach, and then a guy named Steve, big guy, like power lifter. And I'm like, hey, where do you work out? And he's like, I don't know, man. Like, it's a place where you put powder on your hands and people kind of yell. He's like, probably not your type of place. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I don't know how you got that from my build, but you're right. I'm like the guy, like, in the mirror with the, you know, the 10-pound dumbbell or whatever. If I could even get there. But I remember at one point we were, like, ready to carry, like, we needed to carry a heavy piece of furniture up the stairs. And I'm like, man, who can I, like, call? I need help with someone. And Brianna's like, we can ask Steve and Jesse to come over. And I'm like, really? You just eliminated me from the equation. Like, have my two strong neighbors come over and help lift the thing up the stairs is pretty demoralizing. But anyways, my point in that was that Steve, across the street, he lived a completely different lifestyle than we do. Like, he got a tattoo of, who was it? Ted Bundy on his calf. Full blown. Like, if you guys, on his thigh. Big, huge tattoo, and then he's like, I don't know, the guy, like, was willing to do it for free. And I'm like, yeah, I wonder why. Like, you know, but yet we just kept sharing who we were with them. We were just who we were, and we were with them. When they were moving, we helped pack boxes. We were there. The only people that were there, we were there packing boxes with them. I was like, you're really the type of people that when we come over, you asked us for help moving and nothing's even in boxes yet. You know, it was one of those types of things. But they were such cool people and they really loved us and they really cared for us. And they're like, you know what? We've never met Christians that don't just like judge us and treat us terribly from day one. And we're like, yeah, like, you know, like we care for you guys. You guys are cool people, you know? And I remember like his wife, Alexis, would say a bad word and be like, I'm so sorry. And we're like, it's okay. Like, we didn't tell you that you can't say bad words. But, you know, it's just her just feeling like I need to be different around them. Because the who we were was just rubbing off on them, right? And we're still investing in that relationship and pouring into that relationship, hoping that one day they might come to faith in Jesus, you know? And so that's what the Lord is calling us to do, is really just share who we are with others and share a meal with others and sit down with them and be willing to go that extra step with them. And remember, like, others will respect you for who you genuinely are. You don't need other people to become like you right away, like or really ever. Or they don't need to become like Christ right away. Like, that's one thing, is you need to give that to Jesus. Like, you need to let Jesus work that stuff out. You just need to be who you are. And so if you go over there and you say, darn it, in front of them, and they're like, darn it, really? Like, you know, my nephew says, darn it. And it's like, that's just what, you know, that's who I am. And they can make fun of you and laugh about it, whatever. But if just be who you are and be with them, you'd be surprised how people will still welcome you in and just love that you're being genuine. And I'm telling you, like, for some reason, we always end up going backwards into like this religious mindset that Christians need to be with Christian people. What if I backslide? What if I'm with people that take me down, you know, with them, and I end up in a sinful lifestyle? If you're in that place, take the time to grow in your faith, pray, spend time in God's word, grow to where you feel strong, like you can be with other people and truly be yourself and be a reflection of Jesus. But I'm telling you, I know many of you in here, you are in your word, you are in prayer, you are doing all those things. So now it's just like the vision the Lord has given me is like, take that light that they already have that's bubbling up inside them and just put it in a dark place. It'll do the work. So be like Jesus, spend time with people who don't share the same lifestyle that you do. And then step three, this is the hardest one. I know you know where I'm going with this. It's to actually speak and share the gospel at some point. It's got to happen, right? That's what comes next. It's actually sharing the hope of Jesus. Sometimes that's like, just step one is like an invite to church. Sometimes. Okay. Another thing is like actually saying like, can I pray for you when someone's going through something really tough? I just believe God does some cool things and I just want to pray for you. You've told me about your situation with your family. You've told me about your health. You've told me about this and this. Can I just pray for you? Whether or not they're uncomfortable, just do it. Take that step of faith and actually speak those words, okay? Here's what Luke 10 says, verse 9. It says, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into the streets and say, even the dust of this town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon in judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. Man, so this is some brutal stuff here. But he's basically saying, go preach the gospel. Tell people the truth. Try to give them your peace. See if they welcome you in. Eat with them. Perform miracles. Let the power of God work in and through you. Speak the truth. Tell them the kingdom of God is coming. If you're rejected by that town, go in there and say, you guys are toast. Good luck. And then just bail and go to a town where they'll listen. It's literally what he's saying. He's like, the time is short. Go preach. Go speak the truth, right? Go and share the truth with others. Now, this is a really important step to go and to share the hope of Jesus. Actually, to get to that place where you've prayed and said, Lord, who is it? And the Lord says, I want you to be praying for this neighbor. And you go, okay, I'm going to pray for this neighbor. And then that neighbor randomly walks past your house and stops and has a conversation with you. And you're busy and you've got other things to do. And then they're talking. And you're like, man, why is this person talking to me so much? Like, I kind of prayed for this. And then they're talking to you and you're like, okay, let me engage this a little bit. And then they start sharing with you more of their life than you ever expected them to. And then eventually it gets to a point where the Lord is like, now you need to actually speak. You need to actually share. You need to actually open your mouth. I don't know why I'm picking on Avery today, sorry, but we were hanging out with Emily. I know there's like nine, but it was Emily Spear. And we were hanging out with her and we're having a conversation and it kind of like got quiet there for a moment. And then Avery randomly just says, kind of felt like it was out of nowhere. She's like, hey, Emily, did you know that one time my dad asked a girl out in the sixth grade and she said no? And then, like, it was just like, what? Why? Like, why? That's so messed up. Yes, that's true. That did happen. And what I realized was this girl, I went to sixth grade camp, and I met this girl, and she was really nice. And she was kind of in my group, in my, like, Team Oak or whatever it was. I don't know what I was in. And we would, like, go, you know, we would, like, polish pieces of chunks of wood together and whatever you do on sixth grade camp. And I got to know her pretty well. And then I was like, I think she likes me. You know what I mean? And then we ate some like spaghetti together or whatever at sixth grade camp. And we get back and we're at outside of school. And I walked up to her. I'm like, hey, will you go out with me? And she's like, no. And just walked away. And I'm like, oh my gosh. It was like the first time I'd ever experienced like such rejection in my life. Since then, I've been rejected many times. I've gotten used to it. But at that moment, it was my first time, sixth grade, right? And so, you know, opened up an old wound there, Avery. Thank you. But what I realized was that's what we're trying to avoid when we preach the gospel, right? Like it's that I built a relationship with her, I ate with her, I had spaghetti with her, and then I actually asked her the question and I got rejected and I felt that pain and that I felt like a fool being rejected, right? But I asked the question, and I think what the Lord is wanting us to do is recognize this last verse here. Can you put up the last verses, Elijah? We're at verse 16 there. It says, he who hears me, wait, where is it? Yeah, verse 16, he who hears me, he who hears you hears me. Thank you. I'm just like, I'm going to read it off of here. I have it in like a different version. That's why I'm getting so thrown off. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. When we present the gospel to somebody and they reject it, they're rejecting Jesus. They're not rejecting us. The rejection isn't on us. Like if I preach, one thing that as a preacher I used to get nervous about is what happens if I preach the gospel and then I pray and I say, if anybody put their faith in Jesus, raise your hand, and no hands go up. And I look around, I'm like, oh no, this is scary. Where do I go from here? You know, I'm in a prayer trap and I'm like stuck and I don't know what to do. You know, do I like force it? You know, do I like be like, oh, I see you and just make something up and lie? You know, no. I see so many hands out there. Let's just pray. You know, no. What you do is you recognize that your job is to speak the truth and God's job is to like penetrate into people's hearts. It's not my job to do that. I can't prepare anybody's heart for the gospel. I can't. I just got to be the gospel, be a living version of the gospel, care for people, actually live a life that reflects peace, joy, love, hope, care, serve other people, and then eventually say, you know that Jesus loves you too and he died for you? You just need to believe in him. And then walk away, you know, if you need to. Or say, I'm happy to explain what that means further. I'm happy to pray with you. I'm happy to share with you where you can start reading in the Bible to learn more. Whatever that thing is, but your job is to just speak it at some point. Next week is Christmas. Like I said, Christmas music's everywhere. People are hearing about Jesus everywhere and Santa. But Jesus is there, and it's the only time of year where Jesus is being sung about on the radio and in the malls and in the shops, right? So what I want us to do is recognize this isn't just a time for the Christers to come back, right? Like for the people who only go to church on Christmas and Easter to come back. Yay, they're coming back. No, that's not what this is actually for people who don't know Jesus that are hearing about him and go, what's this all about? How come I'm driving by and I'm seeing big inflatable nativity scenes on people's lawns? Like, what is this all about? It's a time to invite them in and say, hey, you want to come to our church? Come check it out. It's like the easiest time to do it because it's Sunday at 10 a.m. on Christmas Eve. It's like simple time to invite somebody in. So it's a good time to do it. I want to read this quote from Billy Graham. Like I said, one of the most famous evangelists. He says this, I'm convinced that the greatest act of love we can ever perform for people is to tell them about God's love for them in Christ. The greatest act of love we can ever perform for people. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. If you truly believe in Christ and you truly believe he saved you and you truly believe that because of that you have hope for eternity, then the greatest thing you could ever do is say, I care for you enough to share that message with you. I care for you enough to share that with you. I want to read an example real quick of somebody who did this really, really well, this man named Philip. I'm gonna close with this verse. It's a few verses, but I want you to just think about the process, like I said, of praying about who God wants you to go to, answering that call, spending time with the person, and then opening your mouth and sharing the truth. This is what this person did. Philip, Acts 8:26. It says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting on his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom do the prophets say of this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered him and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded his chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. How awesome is that? Like, there's this man riding in a chariot, and the Spirit of the Lord tells Philip, go run and overtake the chariot. And Philip's like, like fastest man in scripture, just gets there, you know, and like gets all the way to the man, and he's reading scripture. The Lord drew him to somebody who was already in preparation to receive the gospel. That's what God will do if you pray. He'll actually lead you to somebody who's broken and is willing to pray at this moment. The Lord will do all the work ahead of time. He'll build somebody's life up 35 years for that moment for you to answer the call. He'll literally put in decades of work so that you can answer the call and go speak to them. That's awesome. And then he speaks to him about Jesus, and then he puts his faith in him, and he says, here's some water. What's stopping me from being baptized? And he's like, nothing. You know, baptizes him right there. And that's like, this is the opportunity that we have to pray and say, Lord, who do you want me to minister to today? And I want you to ask yourself that question. And I want you to remember, this isn't about converting somebody so that we have more Christians. No, this is about caring about another human being enough to share the hope of Jesus with them. Do you believe it? Do you believe he's impacted you? Get there first. Get to that place first. Do I believe he cares for me? All of our core values we've talked about is to build you up, to get you strong in prayer, to get you to a point to where you're reading scripture, that you're being generous with others, that you're doing all the things that God has commanded you to do so you're strong, so that everything could lead to this moment to share that hope with another human being. That's what God has called us to do. We moved out here, we didn't know anybody. And look, there's a church here now. That's awesome, right? And like, our goal was to come out here and just love people and care for people and to preach God's word and to sit down with anybody who's willing to sit down with us. And that still remains true today. But I'm telling you right now, it's not going to continue forever just Mike doing it. I'm not saying just Mike's doing it, because many of you are doing it, but I'm saying it's going to be a massive movement of God if all of you do it. God will do something. He'll change the city. He'll change the county. He'll change the nation if we could get this down. So that's what God's calling us to do. So what I want you to do is, after service, I'm going to pray. I want you to like pull your phone out and write down the name of the person that you're going to be praying for right now. Who is it? Who's God calling you to go after? Who's that person? Who are you going to show intentionally care for this season? And how are you going to invite them in to have a meal? Or be invited into their house to have a meal? And eventually share the hope of Jesus with. Who is that person? Write it down. Ask somebody else in your community group. Ask somebody else just sitting next to you. Hold me accountable to that thing. Who is that person that you're going to minister to? Next week's Christmas Eve is a great time to just invite somebody in. That person, maybe you've already been doing a lot of the work. You've been tilling the soil. You've been seeing the fruit of what's been going on as you've been ministering, pouring into this person's life. Time to invite them. Time to get them in. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we are grateful for the hope that we have in you. Lord, I don't believe you've called us to be a church that's shoving doctrine down people's throats or making people feel guilty about their lifestyle. I believe what you've called us to do is to live righteous and holy before you in our own personal lives, and to just reflect that love to others, to share that with others, to share the love of Jesus with everybody around us. God, I pray that we wouldn't be afraid to break bread and have a meal with somebody. And many of us who aren't afraid of doing that, maybe we're already doing it on a mass scale. We're breaking bread, we're having meals with others. I pray we wouldn't be afraid then to speak the words that need to be spoken, to pray a prayer, to invite somebody else in, to maybe speak to them some truth when it's uncomfortable, because we've already built the foundation of love. Lord, I pray that we would be loving, caring, and we would be bold. Lord, let us be like Philip, to answer the call, to listen to your still small voice speaking to our hearts. And we would go and we would find those people that you have us going after, that you've already prepared the hearts of those who you're going to send us to, and that we would be bold enough to speak your truth. God, we are grateful for this church. We're thankful for this season. Thankful for every single person sitting in these seats. Pray for your blessings and your love to be over them. And as we wrapped up this core value series, Lord, I pray that we would really reflect those values, that we would be loving, we would be caring, that we would be people who are transformed by your word, that we would be people that have peace. We're dependent on the power of prayer. that we would be generous with one another in all that you've given us, our time, our talent, and our treasures, Lord. And God, that we would be examples of your Son, Jesus Christ, and how we love others and how we share your truth, God. So, Lord, we're grateful for you. We love you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hope to see you all next week for Christmas Eve. God bless y'all.